The Board of Directors of the Delta County Memorial Hospital announced the appointment of John Mitchell as hospital administrator. He replaced Tom Mingen in October of 2011. I'm speaking with Mr. Mitchell right now by phone. As administrator and CEO, you direct the day-to-day operation of the facility. What exactly does your job entail?
Well, I actually also have the very capable help of a chief clinical officer, Jason Kleckler, and a chief financial officer, Bev Carlson, and they also direct operations as well. So, in a small hospital, you tend to find both the CEO and the CFO also helping with day-to-day operations. But I have several departments that report directly to me, and they come to me as their manager when they need assistance and a decision. I also make rounds on patients every day, usually about 9:30, and I go up and visit with patients and staff, and I ask very specific questions when I'm talking to patients that relate to the patient satisfaction scores that all hospitals have to administer and report to the federal government. Let's see what else we do. Of course, I work with the medical staff on a daily basis. If they have an issue they can't resolve at the department level, which doesn't happen very often. We're also working on an initiative to improve employee morale and satisfaction in the workplace, although I have to say it was at a very high level when I started. And then, of course, I work on strategic initiatives to help the hospital be more efficient and to increase use of the hospital as well. So that's kind of a typical day, real quick.
I read that you weren't necessarily looking for an administrative position originally, but you felt that if you did return to the hospital setting, you would only consider a standalone hospital in a rural setting. Why is that?
You know, I had left Centura Health on the Front Range for my second tour with Centura. You know, a very fine organization. I've got good colleagues and some friends there. But prior to that, I had worked in a rural hospital over on the coast of Washington State, and it was a standalone facility like Delta County Memorial Hospital is. And you know, I realize that's really where I'm the happiest. I guess because we have no safety net. You know, you have to work with the local board and the medical staff and the employees to really create a high-performing organization. It's just a lot of fun. You get, you know, I have more control. I like to tell people that when you're in charge, you get a view from 40,000 feet, which is both exhilarating but at times terrifying. So I just find that's more suited to how I like to work.
Before you were working as the hospital administrator, you were working at a healthcare consulting firm based in Fort Collins. What kinds of problems are you seeing hospitals running into? What are their challenges?
Well, I worked in a couple areas. I did some work with a physician friend and colleague of mine for recruiting physicians overseas, American physicians. I did some work with a not-for-profit that was trying to build a new rehab, inpatient rehab hospital in northern Colorado. But I spent a lot of time working with another company that was started by my mentor, and I was helping companies, hospitals in the West, increase and expand their market for outpatient imaging services. And really what I learned from that is, doing that work, is that really the challenges and problems that hospitals face really don't vary that much, you know, from anywhere in the country. I mean, we may be a small hospital here, but our challenges are just as big as, you know, at a 300 or 400-bed hospital in California. And so that was real good insight for me. And actually doing that work, I was actually in several hospitals doing that work with the company called Ivy Ventures out of Richmond, Virginia. It really made me realize I missed being in a hospital setting, and I really didn't want to stop doing that. So that was also helped reinforce my decision to return to the hospital.
What do you like about being in a hospital? I mean, some people would think you know, it's sort of a hard place to spend your time. But what do you like about it?
Well, you know, it's a chance to serve others. You know, I say this is what you do when you're not smart enough to go to medical school or nursing school or be a therapist. You'd be an administrator. I get a lot of satisfaction out of making rounds on patients and staff. I'm very inspired, you know, by what I see nurses and therapists, their interactions with patients and the medical staff as well. You know, I always tell new employees, I said, you know, if you've never worked in a hospital before, the one thing you've got to remember, this is not like any other job you've ever had. We're dealing with people who are afraid and scared, and sometimes afraid and scared enough where they think they might die or somebody they love may die.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in my own small way, by contributing as the leader of the organization, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that, and I really enjoy it. It makes me feel like I'm doing good work.
Being around people who are in very stressful situations like that, does it make you view life a little bit differently?
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, it's hard work. No matter what anybody does in a hospital, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're a nurse or a doctor or, you know, whether you're working in the kitchen or cleaning patient rooms. It's really hard work. But it does make you realize that we all are going to be patients one day. We're all going to get old, and we're going to get frail, and we're going to get weak if we're lucky. And, you know, you need to really, take time and enjoy yourself and your family and your friends, and especially this beautiful area we live in, too. I do have to stop and remind myself of that daily. It's very satisfying in a lot of ways, and, you know, it is a gift in a lot of ways, too. And I think you'll hear a lot of people in hospitals say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You really felt like your successor, Tom Mingen, had done a great job. Can you tell me how you plan to carry on the good things that Tom has done and expand on them?
Well, I think Tom was definitely the man for the times. The hospital was really, the circumstances were really strained when Tom started as the administrator. He turned the hospital around, you know, just about every way you can, from a reputation standpoint, a quality standpoint, stabilizing the medical staff and also the financial standpoint. I mean, in recent years, though, all hospitals are really struggling with the bottom line. Healthcare, we all hear a lot about healthcare reform and the need to reduce costs, and a lot of that's already going on. A lot of the, under the, President Obama's laws, we've seen a lot of change in what's being emphasized now. And hospitals now are routinely being denied for care for Medicare patients. And the reason is that the expectation is we're not going to keep doing things the same way, that we're going to start managing patients more outside the hospital through the physician practices. And it's a big change for everybody, including the patient. I mean, sometimes patients get upset when they, you know, well, I've always done it this way, or I've always gotten this, but and they don't understand that the regulations and the protocols and best practices are changing. So, on one hand, it's a very exciting time to be in healthcare, but on the other hand, past success and does not guarantee future success. That's how big the changes are right now. So, I mean, there isn't a hospital anywhere that's not scrambling now to meet those new expectations.
So you're saying that people who can't afford health care would instead be sent to a clinic?
Well, that certainly is a good model. I don't think you'll talk to anybody in an emergency room or a hospital who thinks that's going to change anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to see a doctor and you don't have any other options, you're going to go to the emergency room, which, of course, is the worst way to get primary care. And it's also the most expensive point of entry into the healthcare system, is going through the emergency room. But it's the reality. Everybody knows that, you know, both physicians and staff work there and patients who go there. So, I don't try and tell people how they ought to feel. However they feel is right, and you just have to go from there. But certainly to have a clinic would definitely be a good development. I've actually met just last week with a group, not-for-profit group that's formed, and they're getting 501c3 status to start a public clinic in Delta, and I believe they've already obtained space down on Main Street. So they hope to be up and operating in a couple of months, and they're calling themselves the Community Health Clinic and the Delta Health and Wellness Center. And you know, one of the principal nurse practitioner has a daughter, grown daughter, who's here in town and works in the counseling and mental health area with the courts. And so she's set up a couple of these clinics before. So you know, as long as they're successful in getting their not-for-profit status, I'm certainly cheering them on and hope that they are successful. And we hear more from them in the next couple of months.
You just answered one of my questions, which is what's being done in Delta County right now to help folks who can't afford health care. And that is one thing that's happening, that there's going to be a community health clinic.
Yeah, that's what this, you know, it's not associated with the hospital. This is a new not-for-profit starting. But yeah, I met with them last week, and they really seem like they're going to get it done. So I'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that happens. You know, there's also a sliding fee scale in Olathe that Montrose Hospital has established. We also have a expanded primary care clinic in Olathe as well, Dr. Jesus Ochoa, and he sees quite a few self-pay patients as well. So, most medical practices will try and take a certain percentage of Medicaid patients,
mm-hmm.
And you know, Medicaid doesn't compensate or reimburse very well compared to other forms of insurance. But you know, I think if you talk to most people in medicine, you know, we all feel it's our obligation to take as much Medicaid as we can. And but all, you know, all organizations, whether it's a hospital or it's a clinic, you know, have limitations on how much the payer mix we can accept.
What happens when someone comes in and you can't accept Medicaid from them?
Well, I mean, if somebody comes into the emergency room, and I'm assuming that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
First of all, it doesn't matter with anybody's ability to pay in the emergency room. They are assessed, and if they have a medical emergency, they are cared for. If the condition they have is not a medical emergency and it's a chronic condition, or it's a condition that can be best referred handled by a primary care doctor, they're referred to a primary care doctor and or to a specialist.
So we were talking about the debate that's going on right now in our country about how we reform healthcare, our whole healthcare system, really. Can you tell me what you see as far as what are the problems? Why do we need reform, in your view? And how could you see things improving or changing? How would you reform our healthcare system if you could?
Well, you know, a lot of, you know, that's a very political and hot question, but, you know, but, you know, we all should have an opinion on this because we're all patients. I think that the Supreme Court debate recently over the personal mandate, you know, that is a big issue. You know, I've heard it argued on both sides from both my friends and acquaintances and colleagues, and you know what I generally say is, look, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have health insurance, you know, through your employer, as long as you are okay continuing to fund the cost, the overall costs of healthcare for people who don't have insurance and don't are unable to pay or won't pay, then we can keep doing it the way we're doing it. You know, all the data suggests, both the specific financial data and attitudes of people, that, you know, people don't want to do that. And when I say that, what I mean is, for example, we as a hospital, at the end of the year, we really need to have a certain percentage of profit. And the reason that we as a nonprofit have to have profit is that hospitals have to buy very expensive equipment to stay current. The technology is always changing, and it's very expensive. So really, we should be realizing, you know, at least a 1.5% at the minimum profit every year. Now, 1.5% is not that much in any business, but somehow we got to get there. And so the way that traditionally in the past for, you know, decades we've gotten there is, you know, we shift the costs of people who can't pay because they don't have insurance or they won't pay to people who do through higher charges. And what we're seeing, you know, in the last decade is that's a system that's going to be very difficult to maintain going forward. Mm-hmm. So if we can't maintain what we've been doing going forward, then we got to do something different. So certainly whether you know your politics and your view is of the opinion that what's been put in place is the right thing or the wrong thing, the way I look at it is it's a start. And I have no doubt that we won't, you know, there won't be changes and tweaks in the law as we go forward. And, you know, that'll be influenced by who's in, you know, which party is in the White House and in the House and Senate. But, and, you know, of course, one of the biggest line items in the budget is Medicare and Medicaid. And a lot of, you know, the specifics of health care reform and controlling costs, I mean, that really means that, you know, we're going to, I think we could be seeing things as, what, you know, rather than going out and getting a hip or a knee replacement, this is one thing we're seeing now. You know, Medicare is now denying payments for those and requiring that the physician document that the patient has gone through non-surgical therapies first to see if it improves the situation. So that's one example of something we've just begun seeing recently. All hospitals have begun seeing recently. So that's kind of a real short take on a very complex subject.
I've been speaking with John Mitchell, who is the administrator of Delta County Memorial Hospital. What do we have in the future at Delta County Memorial Hospital? Anything you want to mention that's coming up?
You know, I think what we're working on right now is we're working on improving and increasing our quality, which is basically a federal requirement under a system known as core measures, and those are safety and quality outcomes. And actually, the hospital has good scores, but the expectation is from CMS, which administers Medicare and Medicaid, is that we're going to increase those even more. So we've got a lot of emphasis on that right now. We are trying to sort out what the new laws are going to mean in terms of the services that we provide, and so we're looking to operate all of our both in hospital and clinics more efficiently. There's a lot of things related to medical homes, getting electronic medical records on board, which we are working on right now for both the hospital and the clinics. And then I think we're this year in our operations plan, we're looking to define at least one new service that the hospital and the community would benefit from. And so we're working on that plan now. But, you know, and then we're going to wait and see what happens. I think that's the attitude a lot of hospitals are taking in terms of, you know, what kind of service? Do we need more bricks and mortar services based in the hospital, or is the law and the payment system going to dictate that we have more outpatient services in our clinics? And I don't think we're really going to know that probably until this election's over.
What do you think this hospital's known for?
You know, the one thing I hear over and over again, and I heard it again today when I was I go visit every patient in the hospital every day, most days, occasionally I'm not here. But I heard a patient say, this is the best care I've ever gotten. And I hear that every week numerous times about how caring and compassionate the staff and the doctors are. And I have to say, this is the highest level of employee and medical staff engagement that I've ever seen, you know, and I've been working in hospitals since 1985. So everybody recognizes the level of compassion and competency here, and that's good to hear on a daily basis.
Well, thank you so much, John Mitchell.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.